You are now listening to a message from Ekah Christian Center. Get set to be edified. God has blessed you.
Numbers 21:25, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all his people and his land. And thou shalt do to him as thou did unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and all his people, until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land." Now, one potent weapon the enemy will use or uses against believers is fear. The title of my sermon today is Overcoming Fear and Obstacles. Overcoming Fear and Obstacles. If there is one potent weapon the devil uses, all right, against believers, against anyone, is to make them afraid of taking possession of what God has given them. A proper definition of fear, all right, we can say fear means fake evidence appearing real. Fake evidence appearing real. Fear. Fear is one character trait where you disqualify yourself from what God has qualified you for. Where you say you are not able to enter into what God has said he has given to you to enter. Hallelujah. If you go to the scriptures, you will find that every time, all right, many times when God wants to give an instruction or when God wants to give a counsel to the children of God or to a man of God, you will hear things like fear not, fear not. When an angel shows up to a person, he will say fear not. Why? Because the word of God has an atmosphere it works and operates, you know, successfully under. And that, you know, atmosphere is the atmosphere of faith. Of faith. Of believing God that what he said he would do, he will do. Glory to God. And, you know, it's very important also to know that the fact that God has said he has given you something, or there's a prophecy or there's a word concerning something that he said is yours, does not mean there will not be opposition. It does not mean that there will not be, it will be easy. No. When you look at the story of the children of Israel, the word of God came and said, oh, that I'm taking you to a land filled with what? Milk and honey. A land that I've shown you. Praise God. A land that I've shown you. All right. And it might look as though it's easy. This land flowing with milk and honey. We'll just go in there, you know, and everybody will hand it over to us and we'll begin to, you know, live happily ever after. So many a times when you hear a word of prophecy, you think that the prophecy means everything will be easy. God has said, oh, we bless you. Amen. And everybody's rejoicing. Yes, you should rejoice, but you should not expect that because God has given a direction or an indication into what he is going to do, that will be easy. Think about it. If you pray for rain, you know what comes with rain. You have to deal with the mud. Praise the Lord. If you pray to go to Canada, you have to deal with snow. Are you following what I'm talking about? So there will be things, challenges. Challenges are part and parcel, all right? You're experiencing challenges and overcoming challenges are part of part and parcel of walking in the prophetic and receiving the promises that God has made to you. Challenges will be there. Glory to God. The fact that you are having challenges in your marriage does not mean that God did not lead you into the marriage. The fact that you are having challenges in your business does not mean God did not lead you into it. The fact that God has told you, I'm going to make you number one in the industry, and you are having so much opposition, and there are a lot of enemies and a lot of contradiction, it doesn't mean God didn't say. It doesn't mean God didn't say. Look at the story of the tree of Israel. Look at Exodus chapter number 3, from verse 7. Glory to God. He says here, and the Lord said, I have surely seen, are you there? Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. He said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Everybody in verse 8, want to go? Come on now. And I'm what? And to bring them what? Out of that land. Unto a what? And a what? And a what? Look at how wonderful it says a large land is flowing milk and honey. But notice something. It says, unto the place the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So listen, God was giving a land. land to the nation of Israel that already had people inside. And the people that were already inside were very strong people. Now we can go into the theology as to why God was giving the land of Canaan to the Israelites. All right, the Bible lets us know, all right, when God was speaking to Abraham and told, he said that the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. All right, I think I talked about this some time past. I can't remember the topic where we explained why God was giving that land to the nation of Israel. But I can't go into that because of my time today. Praise God. Now, God promised a land to a people, but there were opposition right there. Glory to God. There were giants that were there. So, when God promises you something, it does not mean that there are not giants to contend with. Many times, the promises of God always come with the giants that will try to prevent you from entering into those promises. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you have a prophetic direction, a prophetic instruction, or a revelation, when that word comes, many times God says, oh, you are going to have children. You are going to have 3 children. It does not mean that when you get pregnant and you are having the children, there won't be challenges. No. Think about it. God told Mary, oh, you shall, you know, an angel came and told Mary, oh, you are highly favored, and told her all these wonderful things. In your child is going to be called what? The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And the one that you have carry on inside is going to be called the Son of the Highest. Wonderful, wonderful news. Amazing. But guess what? She gets pregnant. It's time to deliver. She gets to Bethlehem, Bethlehem, all right? To put to bed. Number one problem, there was no room for her to put to bed. She's carrying the Savior. But there is no room for her to put together. God did not think about creating special hotel reservations. Glory to God. For this Savior of the world. God didn't think it necessary. After that, what do we have? We now find that the king, Herod, heard that a king was going to be born. And this king is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. Guess what Herod does? Normally, you would have thought that Herod would say, oh my God. We got God in human flesh coming to be born around me. We got to hold a party. This is wonderful. Herod wanted to kill him. Then you now find that Mary, after she put to bed, she has not yet even properly healed from the entire birthing experience. Praise God. She is now running with the child and her husband to Egypt. Problem. They are now, because the blessing, the prophetic word that she was given came with mother threats. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Many of us lose what God has given to us because obstacles appear. Because difficulties appear. Because there's there's the work that needs to be done for us to come into the fruition of it. And we must understand that what God gives requires efforts. By the grace of God and by faith and the work ethic, glory to God, to receive. If not, it will only remain at the realm of promises. Lesson one to learn today. Whatever God has given you, we always have big obstacles. In order for you to receive them, there will be obstacles in the way, in the way of you receiving them. This is why to receive those promises, to receive those blessings, faith and courage is required. Someone shout faith and courage. Louder say faith and courage. Louder say faith and courage. There is usually a fight of faith necessary to receive what God has given. Look at Numbers chapter 13, 32 to 33. Glory to God. Numbers 13, 32 to 33. Are you there? All right. It says, and they brought up an evil before. This was, Moses wanted to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And what immediately happens was that they get there and he says, okay, before we enter in, let us take 12 people, all right, 12 spies, and send them, all right, into the space so that they can do reconnaissance, intelligence gathering. So these guys go in there, see every single thing. They say, oh, there's meat, there's honey everywhere. But in there, and I said, there's giants. There are giants in the land. Look at this. It says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they have searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Are you hearing? And all the people that we saw in it are what? Men of what? Great stature. They have big chests. And there we saw what? The giants. The son of Anak. Pay attention. Which come of the giants. That's the Nephilim. He says, and we were in our own sight as what? Come on, talk to me. As what? Same thing. God saying, oh, you're going to be doing this. I said, me? I'm the smallest in my family. I'm useless. I don't think that word is for me. Praise God. You know, oh, you are going to be an international. Oh, no. I don't think so. Because in this country, Nigeria, Tinubu is showing all of us shaking. I don't think it's possible. Said, we were like grasshoppers. God was saying, take the land. He said, no, we can't. There are giants there. God is saying, so what? I knew about the giants when I said I gave it to you. The problems and the challenges you are facing, he knows. God is aware of them. That boss that is making your life, yeah, God is aware. Glory to God. Amen. God is very, very aware. Praise the Lord. All right. He's very aware. That course that he led you to study, God is very aware of that stuff. He is aware about that professor. He's aware. He is very aware. Yet he put you there. And he put you there because he already made a way out. You are supposed to press in and find it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. One thing faith in God gives to you is mental toughness. Someone say mental toughness. I want you to say it again. Mental toughness. Yeah. Because a lot of the battles of life are either won or lost between your ears. Between your ears. What you're thinking. Some people already lose the battle in their heads before they lose it in their life. Mental toughness. Where you have that faith in God, you are holding on to God's word. No matter what is going around, you say, no, the word of God says it and that settles it. I'm going to stand in this thing. I know there is a, all right, no matter what. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I am standing on the word of God. This is my confession. You stand in there. Glory to God. You stand in there because the word of God, all right, has given you an assurance. Praise the Lord. Let me show you on that something else. Listen. You know, the children of Israel said they were grasshoppers. They were grasshoppers compared to the giants. Now, God had intended for them the journey from Egypt to Canaan to last 40 days. But because of their fear, it took 40 years. A lot of times, the delay we are experiencing is not because of God's timing. It's not God's timing. It's not God saying, oh, your season, it's not it. Many times, the door is open, but we are afraid to enter because of the giants that are there. What we are supposed to do, if God tells you, listen, this thing I have given it to you, you are supposed to believe it, enter into the place, face whatever challenge, because sometimes, you know, when you look at the story, you say there are giants there, okay, Pastor, how does that relate to me? Listen, you are in a place, you are in a business space, all right? The giants, for example, all right, are the titans in the industry, the gatekeepers that are closed the door and are refusing to allow any other person to enter. That's your giants. Praise the Lord. The policies that make it difficult for your business to grow. That's your own giant. That ceiling that is above your head, that you cannot rise above in your career, that's your giant. That's your giant. The natural limitations that you have, that you have looked at and say, it can never happen. I mean, no. Those excuses you are giving, those reasons you are giving as to why it will not, that's your giant. That reason, that factor that you have looked at and you have said, compared to this, I am a grasshopper. That's your giant. Praise the Lord. Everybody look up here. Listen. Do you know what people do with their giants? With the giants that are standing in the way, the obstacle to the promised land. Do you know what people do with it? Most people, rather than confront, they ignore. And they hope that if they ignore the giant long enough, one day, the giant will disappear. No, listen to me. Giants don't disappear. Giants must be slain to disappear. The reason why you have that giant in your life is for you to slay it. Because after you slay it, your credentials will be updated that I have moved from the person you call the grasshopper. I am now a what? A giant slayer. There are conversations we have with giant slayers that we do not have with grasshoppers. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Glory to God. What is hard? You said this thing is hard. I'm trying, but it's hard. That's your giant. You need to take that giant down. Don't ignore the giant. You face that giant straight on. This guy, you're coming down. This situation, you are coming down. Hallelujah. The person you are pre-confrontation with your giant and the person you are after the confrontation is not the same person. You are not the same person. There is something victory over tough and adversarial circumstances does to a man. What it does to a woman. The wisdom it gives to you. The courage to face another fight that it gives to you. You say, just as God was able to help me kill the lion and how he was able to help me take care of the bear, he will help me take care of this one. So are you following what I'm saying here? Praise God. Lesson number two for us to learn. Fear will delay your manifestation. What did I say? Say it again. Fear will delay your manifestation. A lot of times, the delay in manifestation isn't due to God's timing or his seasons. It is due to fear. This brother, you are not married. Not because you say, no, it's not yet my time. It's not my season. No, you are not married because you are afraid. You're afraid that after you marry, you won't have money to take care of the wife. Glory to God. You are afraid. It's fear. You say, I don't want trouble. Oh. I don't want to start the marriage now. And you know, the women, you know how these women are. They are not really content. You know, you are now single at 35. It's even affecting the people you toast. You never toast the one that has finished school. It's the one in level 100 you want to toast. Or the one that has just finished secondary school. Look at you, Agbaya. Fear has made you an Agbaya. Junior sister don't toast. Praise God. Fear. Listen. Look, there are some folks. Fear has determined who they married. Fear. 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 Some people are still asleep by 11 in the morning because they are afraid. They are afraid. Fear cripples your leg. A man who lives in fear is a cripple. Did you hear what I said? The person is a cripple because fear will stop you from using your leg to enter where you should enter. Fear is a paralyzer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to say, oh, you're afraid? Oh, yeah, walk of faith. Walk of faith. No, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The courage that you need, the boldness that you need to face life challenges, you come from fellowship with God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at the story of David. David goes to face Goliath. You know, that story is really amazing. Because the truth about it is this. That story is amazing. Sometimes when we read it, we just, David and Goliath story, Listen to me. David was 17 years old. Goliath was a giant. And Goliath was a competent soldier. And he was very experienced. Saul said it to David. All right? He said it in 1 Samuel chapter 17. All right? Verse 26. You know this glory that we are doing, some people are doing saying it. The time, you see, when Cairo sits, they will reward their door. Keep it quiet. Praise God now. 1 Samuel 17, 26. He says what? He says, and David spoke to this the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and taketh away the report from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I want to tell you something. Listen. I want you to imagine that you are an Israelite during this time. There will be the coward. Praise the Lord. There will be the cowardly fearful. Glory to God. There will be the women and children. Then there will be the men that are women and children. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Because listen, notice something, and I'll explain to you, get it. Notice whenever there are challenges, There are some people that are, their expertise is knowing how to run away. Are you following what I'm saying? The husband, that something happens. Maybe the wife is pregnant and she goes to the hospital. And they say she is going to need a cesarean section. He doesn't have the money. That's Goliath right there. You know what some men do? Rather than stand and take charge, they run away. They will run away, disappear, switch off their phones, leave the woman there in the hospital. Then after 3 days, they will show up back, hoping that the giant has disappeared. Dear sir, you missed an opportunity of a lifetime to show that you are a champion. It is in that kind of situation that you bring out, your character comes out, that you believe in God. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's where your relationship with God will show. The strength and the depth of your relationship with God does not show when things are fine. It's not during the time of peace where there is no war. No! It's when there's a battle. That's when we know those who really believe. When there's a battle. A lot of Christians don't know how to fight. When there's a battle, they will choose to run away. Praise the Lord, though. I ran away and I was able to get away. Hallelujah. They will now do praise. You escaped. Hallelujah. But the enemy has our land. You are saying we are clapping that we lost the land. The giant is alive. We are doing praise the Lord. We escaped. David said, listen, I'll take care of him. Who is he? Because David had fellowship with God. There was no fear in his eyes when he came to Goliath. Saul was telling him, David, listen, you are a child. He has experience. He's a soldier. He has been a soldier since you were a child. You stand no chance. Maybe you are in an industry. Everybody is telling you this idea that you have. You stand no chance. They've looked at your business. They say, you stand no chance. This thing you want to do. You have put out, people say, I'm going to build a store in Paris. I'm going to put this here. I'm going to do that. People are looking at you. In fact, you said it and people are laughing. Listen, until your dream does not make a comedian out of you, it is not a God-sized dream. The dream should be so big that your friends that know you will be laughing. When you say they fell laugh, and they are waiting for you to key in the laughter. But you are not laughing. So I'm serious. Every genius was first called a madman before he was called a what? A genius. Because what faith does for you is that faith places you on a pedestal. Your worldview is different from other people's worldview. So when you are talking from that pedestal that God has opened your eyes and placed you to stand, you look like you are mad. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now when I'm talking about faith, please, I don't want you to think I'm talking about faith in church. I'm not talking religious faith, where we all come here and do we believe in. I'm talking inside the market. I'm talking inside your career and your industry. Go there. What is the giant that is there? We are going to take it down. When you start talking from that realm of faith and you are talking from that realm of understanding, confronting the obstacles, confronting the giants, the industry captains will listen to you. Notice, David was a 17-year-old boy. But because of how he began to talk about Goliath, they fast-tracked his appearance before the king. They placed him in front of Saul. Oh yeah, what did you say? You say you can take him down? Say yes, I can take him down. Give him to me. I will make him, meat. He's meat for me. Glory to God. Look at him and say, refuse to fear. Say loud, I refuse to fear. Louder, I refuse to fear. Louder, say, I refuse to fear. Listen, in the battle of life, the obstacle is the way. The way is not around the obstacle. The obstacle itself is the way. That's the way. See, that place they blocked, now you go pass. Do you understand? That's where you will pass. Where are you seeing obstacles, obstructions in your life, in your journey? That is the path you need to pass it. Stop Stop trying to dance around it. I don't know whether in your family you guys have, there's a particular pattern you are seeing and stuff like that, and you are trying to say, it should not happen to me. No. If it is spiritual, you will face the strong man. You will face that strong man. The strong man must come down. Praise the Lord. I'm hoping that, no, it will come down. See, if there was a pattern in my own family that I saw, and there's one altar, listen, I will just take 14 days. Who needs to die, will die. Are you following what I'm saying? Who needs to sleep and not wake up, will you sleep? It will come down. There's nothing like God will do it in the future. What? God is resting. He has given me authority. So I am supposed to do something about the giant. If I do something about the giant, then God will do something about the giant. What I'm not supposed to do is to sleep and say, God will sort it out. No. David didn't say, Goliath is there, don't worry, God will take care of Goliath. No. No. He presented himself. He took his stone and flinged it. And he flinged it. What God did was, after he released the stone, God now gave the stone what? Direction. Because that stone, if the Spirit of God was not involved, the Goliath just dodged now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Imagine, I don't know how many of you have fought a bully. And maybe you had an idea in your mind that we beat this guy. Maybe you just watch some Jet Li movies. Some of you used to watch all those, you know, Kung Fu movies. There's a particular, what's the name of this movie? Hype Man. I don't even know Hype Man. I like the way that guy does Kung Fu, you know? Wing Chun. I'm serious. The way they go, then you point to pa. I'm like, man, I need to learn this thing, man. And someone should just get me annoyed. I'll just train one of things, two things in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I considered, you know, taking some Wing Chun classes. Praise God. But you see, the thing I figured out was, even in the movies, Hype Man got punched. So I want Wing Chun where I'm punching, but I'm not getting punched. But imagine you're fighting a bully and you learn to move, and maybe, you know, you thought, I'll just hit him here. Like in the movie, when they hit him on the neck, the guy will collapse. And you went there and said, don't worry, I'm just one move. And you hit him on the neck. No response. You know you're finished. Because, you know, in the David story, he just threw stone. If the stone did not work, David didn't have there was no plan B. So that means God was needed in that place. So listen to me and see. When it comes to taking down the obstacle, when you are walking in faith, many times, listen, pay attention. When you are taking that step of faith, it will look as though, boy, if this thing no work, now die, yo. If I fling this stone and this guy does not come down, now God hand I day, yo. You understand what I'm talking about? Because many a times, until it gets to that point that, it is either this or I'm finished. Every success story will always have that battle. Where you get to that juncture and say, it's either I swim or I sink. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I was in the story of this guy, you know, the guy who owns Tesla. Because even some people always think that God does not bless people that don't have faith. It's not true. When I'm half faith, I'm called salvation faith. That means you don't believe in him. That if you know a Christian, God will not bless you. No, you see, many times, God blesses unbelievers for believers. For example, many of us use devices. We use technology, isn't it? Technology is currently being used to spread the gospel. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying? So, God will bless men with the idea for the purpose of the church, of the believer. But when you look at their story, you will see that tenacity. That belief, they had the faith, they believe it will work. So irrespective of challenges, they push through. There's just something about God that if he finds a man who is dogged enough to say, I'm not going to give up because I believe in this idea. Many times God is one that will put it on your mind. He will help them. Don't be a child of God that is afraid of what should be afraid of you. Hallelujah. You have an invisible King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bigger than any giant inside of you and behind you. There's something you always say, oh, rum on Nisha, oh, what? Oh, fire. The enemy can see the big guy one with you. You are the one that can't see. Because you are supposed to see it by faith. The training of God is this. You are supposed to believe I am with you even though you don't see me. But the enemy can see who is with you. So act with that consciousness. God is with me. Go and price that land. You don't have money. Go and price it. Go there. Price it. Amen. Price it. How much is it? Are the documents complete? Praise the Lord. And you are praying to God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Just continue like that. Just talk like, listen, give God opportunity to be God in your life. Did you hear what I said? Look at him and say, give God opportunity to be God in your life. You know, one of the things I found out in life, the people that have too much sense, they don't make a lot of sense. The people that don't have a lot of sense, they usually make a lot of sense. What am I saying? Sometimes, the obstacle to the progress of the intelligent, the very intelligent, is their intelligence. They want it to make sense. You see, in life, sometimes, the faster you move, the slower time ticks. So, you are able to shorten the distance between destination A from point A to point B via speed. Now, the thing with speed is this. Many times, you move faster with less logicality. You are not thinking. Because if you think through everything that is with your mind, you can't move fast. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. So that's why, many times, for you to achieve some things, you have to trust that God that gave you instruction has thought everything through. When you say stand up, yes sir, you stand up. You don't go say stand up. Why am I standing up? Why, Lord? Why am I standing up? Turn left. Why? What is in the left? Lord, no, I'm not moving until I know what is in the left. I cannot know. You know you are not going to move forward. Praise the Lord. Let's say, for example, you have 50 million naira capital. And God says, get up, look at that place, or look at that stock, put 45 million in there. 45 million. And you look at the thing. Yes, I don't understand. I don't, why? I don't, no. And you are dragging. Do it now! No. This, I cannot. Yeah, 45, 5 million. What if I lose it? And you don't move. I'll tell you, so a particular guy was an investor. Now, please, so this is not finance advice. So this is what happened to somebody. Because he's here, I heard the word in church. Mm-mm, listen well. The guy was an investor, right? And he just had the voice of the Lord tell him to, there's his position. And he told him that, take all of this money. There's something called shorting in investment banking. So you can long a position and you can short a position. So the Lord told him, go on this thing, short this stock. And he said, go heavy, shorting the stock. I said, he looked at the market indices. He was trying to understand this thing. Yeah, there were some signs that, okay, but it was not something that, from a logical perspective, it would make any sense. But he obeyed. He put the money there and waited. 3 days later, the market moved. And when the market moved, he just exited his position. And he 10x his investment. Just like that, in 3 days. Are you following what I'm saying? If he ran using heads, he will not make the move. Are you following what I'm saying? But he went by faith, trusting God, and he made the move. Praise the Lord. Many times, the issue is fear. Fear. Now, I'm not saying you don't make calculated risk. You calculate the risk before you make it, praise God. Yes, there is that. But when you have a leading of the Spirit concerning something, what you need to do is to respond at the speed of light and not let fear hold you back. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Are we learning something today? All right? Are you learning something today? Now, listen. Listen. We said the obstacle is the way. Stop dancing around the obstacle, wishing it away. Confront the obstacle and solve it head on. There's something my pastor always says, Pastor Bolaji, though. All right, and I will never forget it. There was a time we had a meeting, and he said, many pastors like to avoid problems. So there's a problem, they've seen there's this issue in the church, this. But instead of them to confront the problem, they avoid the problem. Glory be to God. A problem avoided does not disappear. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. A problem avoided does not... Okay, I don't know. You know, you are in your house. There's always this problem. Oh, these people serve. They never always take light. And you are always complaining. Ah! So the problem is, there's no stable what? Power supply. But God has blessed you and stuff like that. Why don't you solve the problem? Your children are growing up here and you complain about... Why don't you solve the problem? Praise the Lord. You have looked at it. Oh, there is a pattern of this in our family. Nobody did it. But your children, why don't you solve the problem? You say, but I don't. Listen, sometimes the response to the problem is not money. The response to the problem is a willingness to solve it. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I'll tell you one funny story. A particular member of our church, all right, she got admission. She's in 300 level or something like that. She's in a university. So she didn't have enough school fees because, you know, with these new policies, they've increased the school fees and it's a bit pricey. So she didn't have money for school fees and they were dragging. Where would they find the money? Then finally, you know, rather than avoid the problem, someone like, Pastor Femi, we have a problem. I said, what is it? School fees for this person. This. I said, okay. Sorry, I should have gone to my resident, but I look, the thing is, you understand? She cried for help. At least the person cried. And the school fees were paid. Problem avoided does not mean problem solved. Obstacle avoided. So, you know, you went and committed fornication. Now you are pregnant. You are now doing as though the pregnancy will disappear. Auntie, welcome to motherhood. You are pregnant. Praise God. You got somebody pregnant. They said, she told you, I have missed my period. You are now doing as though it was in the dream they told you. You fornicated. You sinned against God. But God now blessed both of you with a child. You know what to do as though you are not aware that what you did. You understand what I'm saying? Your children don't come to visit you. Don't come to say, Daddy, Daddy. So that means there's a connect intimacy problem with your wife, intimacy problem with your children. You don't ignore it. You don't say it will just solve itself. No! You fix it. Wife, your husband, you and your husband, you have not accessed in 4 months. And you are there. Oh, we will show them. I will show him. Show him. Both of you are showing yourself. 4 months. No action. Four. You're like that. You're doing like that. Then you are praying against Jezebel. Him is praying against forces that want to destroy his marriage. Both of you are not okay. Listen. Solve the problem. Are you here? Look at him and say, solve the problem. Look at somebody and say, solve the problem. Look, say, solve the problem. There's no capital in your business. Solve the problem. Talk to people about your business. Write proposals. Tell them, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is this. If you invest this amount of money, you will get this return. You understand? Solve the problem. Praise the Lord. Solve the problem. Solve the problem. Solve the problem. Someone came and told you, you were talking and the person was moving back. You were talking and the person was moving back. Brother, you've got a Goliath in your mouth. Amen. Amen, somebody. There's a Goliath in your mouth. We need to take that Goliath down. Don't be offended. Listen, and that's another problem with a lot of folks. They are offended by their giants. So when people point, hey, they are offended. I don't like I talk to me. They will not go on. No, what does that, listen, getting up, what does that do? What does that do? Your mouth is smelly and someone told you. That's, what does that do? What you should do is solve the problem. Go get some good Colgate toothpaste. Amen. Get a new toothbrush. If you need to do some scaling and polishing, you gotta do it, baby. Go and get that stuff fixed. Then next time after you fix it, go back to that person and come on close. And you speak, you know, with an open mouth. You know, when God has enlarged our mouth. Amen. You say, how are you doing today? Praise the Lord. And he's odorless now. It's odorless now. I saw a skit. A lady went to go and watch AFCON. All right, and as we're shouting, go! And people raise their hand like this.
some effulgent gases came out of their armpits. People are carrying Goliath in their armpits. Amen. Then someone points it out, you are offended. Maybe it's your wife that points it out, and you're angry that your wife pointed it out. No. Fix it. Listen to me. If your life is going to move forward, you have to have a thick skin. Learn not to be easily annoyed and easily offended. Learn it. Take the learnings. Correct it. Move forward. Don't let your ego kill you. I don't like how they told me. Was it? Listen, you are saying you don't like. Was it true? So somebody was telling me, children, just are, you know, the way it is. Listen, we need to do this. I can't be looking here that and now be offended. What does the person mean? We are doing our best. Is the person a giver? You are saying, no. Take the learning. We have to fix it. Praise the Lord. Look at them and say, we have to fix what we have to fix. Yeah. Take the giant down. Stop running. Take the giant down. Brother, you wanted to like, you like this babe. You told her something. She now tells you, look, let me tell you something. I like her and everything. You're handsome. But I cannot date a guy that doesn't have a car. And you're not offended. You're not going on Twitter. All these useless babes. All these 2K babes. Brother, do you have a car? You don't. I'm not saying the lady is right with what I've said, but the question is that don't be offended. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you personally. I want you to listen. One day, you know, I sold my car because I had some financial challenges years ago. My wife just got married, and I decided in my mind, I was full time there. I decided in my mind that I was not going to marry without a vehicle. So I asked myself a very honest question. I said, what kind of car do I want to drive? I said, this one car. I said, well, what kind of problem will I be solving for people that will make me drive that kind of car? That was where I got very honest with myself. That was what informed the skills I went to learn. That was what informed me going back into postgraduate school. That informed the steps I took. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's very simple. Very simple. You are a music producer. This music you are producing, is it quality enough to determine? Are you getting what I'm saying? This fashion you are doing, is your standard quality enough to serve the whole of Africa? Those are questions. So when we're talking of giants, don't always think principalities and powers. Many of you, your principalities and powers are the mouth odor like I mentioned, and the giant in your armpit. Those are the principalities and powers that you need to take down. I'm just using that as those as examples. Some of you, it's your mindsets. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Is somebody learning something today? Stop being afraid. The promise of God to you, all right, they are custom made for you. Stop being afraid. And you know one thing God always does? I will tell you, that is amazing. Is this? The thing he told you to do that you are afraid of doing it. If you refuse to do it long enough, God will bring somebody younger than you, less experienced than you, less skilled than you, uglier than you. And that person will do it. And you begin to look at it and you'll be a fan. Wow. The very thing he told you to do. Another person enters into it before you because they were not afraid. What God tells you to do, and he says, go all in. If you go half in, what you are going to get is what people that go after him will get. Am I talking to somebody here today? Listen to me. 2026 is the year where we are raising a people that will not live a life of regrets. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. Where you are regretting your actions and your inactions. No. What did God tell you to do? You do it and we close. Lesson 4. Listen. Faith is contagious. Bravery is contagious. So is fear. So never let fear in the room. Once you do, it will spread. Also, identify your faith ecosystem. and plugging. Plugging. Just as you need to have a bath every day to stay fresh, glory to God, and look guided, you need a faith environment every day. Every day. You need to contact that environment every day for your faith to stay steady. For you to be in fact, you know, I was telling my pastor, I think some days ago, I said that when he, because I just came from some conferences I attended with him. I was telling him that when I leave these conferences, I always live inspired. That's my environment. That's my environment. There are many pastors' conferences, but he's my pastor. So I come there and I listen, as I listen, I'm inspired to take certain steps. You need that environment. That's why you come to church. You're not coming to mark attendance here. When you come here, is to get your faith stirred. So that when you leave the building, you are like going out with a different mindset. The problem that looked like a mountain is now a molehill. That obstacle you are avoiding, you go there, I'm anointed like David to take you down. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Do we have some women in the building? You see those ceilings they put? They say you can't achieve it because you're a woman. That's your Goliath. You are taking those giants down this year. Amen. You are taking them down this year. Praise the Lord. They say, no, don't buy a car unless you have a husband. You will buy it. Hallelujah. You will drive it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your husband is going to meet you looking good. You know this. You know those men that are always looking, no, she's having a car. They won't find you. Praise God. No, they won't find you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I said, we are not, listen, Oike men are not small-minded men. Amen. They're not small-minded men. If our wives have a car, all right, we thank God for it. We meet someone, we are not intimidated. Glory to God. Is that they have their car, we have our own. Even if they have their own, we don't have our own yet. Glory to God. We know we will have. And we know that the fact that they have doesn't mean we will not buy a car for them. Glory to God. So it's a mindset. Glory to God. It's a mindset. Take those giants down. Don't limit yourself. When they are saying, who wants to volunteer to run this unit? Don't be the last to say yes. Don't do that. Don't do false humility. No. They say, who wants to sit in the front? They're like, go forward now. Go forward. No. What are you talking about? Go forward. Get up. Sit down in front. The front is for you. Glory to God. I said, the front is for you. If I go somewhere to a meeting, I'm sitting in front. Glory to God. He said, no, you see, something. I'm sitting in front. See, if I go for a spiritual meeting, I will sit in front. When I used to go for Pastor Chris meeting, he's in front too. Should I tell you why? Some people say, no, you see, the Holy Ghost will hit everybody. I know. But you see, I want the Holy Ghost to hit me where? In front. Because sometimes pastor will come down. Who will he touch first? Not people in front. Praise the Lord. In front. When I go for my pastor's meeting, I'm in front. Because sometimes, maybe the anointing calls on him tomorrow. You understand? I want to release something. I am there. Oh, yeah. And I'm looking at him like this. Hey, come on, lay hands, pastor. I'm here. My head is here. Is it not looking wonderful for you to lay hands on this head? I'm over 40. I was 25 at the point. Glory to God. He says, my season. My season is now. It's not in the future. It's now. Now. Amen. Now. This is your season. It's not in the future. You are in a particular season now. Manifest now. It's not in the future. Stop pushing the manifestation in front. It is coming in the future. You know, I was talking to somebody and the person was saying, what are you going to do? And he said, and what I want to do now is that I want to enter into a program that I said, well, we start earning money. And when I finish the program, I said, not serious. Leave it. All those decisions where it's always in front, before you begin to take action. Cancel it. Start now. What are we going to do? What? Now. There must be what you are doing now. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You must do it now. There's no money. What are you going to do about it? You want to earn more. What are you going to do about it? You are not married. You want to marry. What are you going to do about it? Not in the future. Now. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You want to get, you want to know how to build websites. You need to know how to, you want to learn how to code. What are you doing about it? Why are you pushing it forward? What are you going to do now? You want to have a wonderful relationship with God? Oh, if I wish I could quit smoking. Oh, I wish I could leave all this sin behind and begin to live for God. Why haven't you decided to do it now? Why are you procrastinating? Many times people procrastinate because they are afraid. You don't want to do now what you can do now, but you want to push it in front because you are afraid of confronting that thing now. Every spirit of procrastination, every pattern of procrastination and fear, you are delivered from it in the name of Jesus. Listen to what I'm telling you. The world belongs to doers. It's not what you heard. It is what you did with it. If you go to the exam hall, you have read all the books in the world, and you go to the exam hall, and you are looking at the paper like this, and you are admiring the paper, and you admire it, and you admire it, and you submit a blank paper, what will you score? Zero. I don't know how many of you know those people in school, university, they know how to, when you get to the point, when you are discussing them, they can, how did they used to say it when I was in school? They can move stuff. How many of you have people that can move stuff, you know? When they ask a question, papa, they are talking. Glucose 6 phosphatase deficiency. Oh, glucose 6 phosphatase deficiency. How would you manage, you know, kidney failure? You will. Listen, there were times where the person will talk. So when we are waiting, you know, to write before the exam, when you say who is going to get the highest, that person that was talking, moving stuff, we will say that's the person. It is not what you said outside the exam that determines your score. It's what you write inside the exam. Listen to me. Everybody hear me. What are you going to do with your life this year? God is for you already. God, if you are born again, God is on your inside already. All he's waiting for, he has made this move already. He's waiting for your own move. So what's your move? Glory to God. You want to be in front. Which books are you reading? Has your schedule changed? Has your habits changed? What have you started, all right, this year that you didn't start before? What was shallow last year that is becoming deep? Your spiritual life, your walk with God, is it getting deeper this year? Praise the Lord. All right. What are you doing? Because you see, success is not an accident. Execution is not by accident. It's intentionally achieved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you learned something this morning? Faith is not just in spiritual gyrations. There is that. But the end of faith is in doing. Everybody say doing. Doing. Your actions. The steps that you rise up on your feet.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For more messages, kindly search for our Telegram channel using the link t.me/oikiacc. God has blessed you.